Thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
We are in Ezekiel chapter 47. So go ahead, that's over in the Old Testament, in the prophets, and you'll find that. We'll dive into it a little bit later, but I want to introduce a new series. Now, we just came out of a life lesson series about wells, digging wells, and how wells are sources of life and restoration and sustenance, but how those can get clogged up. And we used Abraham, Isaac, and how the wells that they dug got stopped up by the Philistines, and there's lots of rich stuff in there. If you missed any of those messages, I encourage you, go online, and you can find all of those messages there. So today I'm going to dive into a series of life lessons, and they segue beautifully from our digging wells, redigging wells series. And this series is about living wells, living water. That's what this is called. It's all about living water. And I don't know about you, if you've ever had those times in your in the middle of the night. They strike me sometimes at like 3 a.m. and I will wake up in excruciating leg cramp. Anybody have leg cramps or any kind of cramps at night? And it's like, oh, and, you know, I'll have that leg cramp and Shay will be over there trying to help me. And she's really no help. I love her. I love her. But, you know, she puts the pressure of a gnat on you. And it's like, this is hard as I can press. And I'm like, that's really not doing anything. But I'm telling you, you know what causes that a lot of times, right? Lack of water. Lack of water. We just haven't been drinking enough water. And our bodies depend on water for our organs inside. We are made up of so much water. I don't know the statistic of percentage of how much it is, but we're made up of water. Water is a life source. As I told you in the last series, water in the basic elements is only second to air for our survival. Like, we have to have water, and we can only go a few days until our organs begin to shut down and fail, and we begin to die. I read in this article somewhere that the majority of Americans at any given time, the majority of Americans at any given time are dehydrated. A few of you medical folks in here can tell how you're dehydrated. You know, you take your skin and you do this, you pinch it, and if it doesn't just immediately go back in shape, you're dehydrated. And so I'll do that a lot of times to myself, and usually I'm dehydrated. Shay says, I need to drink more water. And I'm like, if it tastes like Coke, I would. You know, I would drink a lot of it if it just tasted better, but it doesn't. But to me, at least. But you know, there are times where I'll be outside and I'll be working and I will have sweated so much. And, you know, I haven't had anything to quench that thirst. And as much as I like other things besides water to drink, in my body overrides my desire. And Shay will be like, you want me to fix you a glass of Coke, or you want me, you know, fix you something to drink? And I'm like, no, I just want water. I just want water. And there's nothing like water from a good old country rubber water hose. I'm telling you what, that's the best drink of water when you are thirsty, just straight out of the hydrant or the hose. And it's something about your body. It's like, don't give me anything else, because you've gotten past the point of dehydration, and you need the basic element. You don't need any frou-frou. You don't need any water supplements. You need the source of life because your body is thirsting for it. It's crying out for it. And so this morning as I talk to you about it, I want to begin with this scripture. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's I believe it's the last festival before Passover that they're about to celebrate. And so on the last day, so they're at the last day of the festival. They've had 7 days of this festival. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews, every day they would bring water to the temple and pour it out at the altar as a symbol of God providing water for them in the desert while they were on their 40-year, joyride, so to speak. You know, they could have just made it straight there if they had been obedient, but instead, the 40 years, and God provided for them water in the desert. Now, Shay and I have had the privilege of at least once to go to Israel, and I'm telling you what, man, we went out in the desert to some of those places. I wouldn't want to be stuck out there in modern times, much less times back then where they had to walk everywhere. And so Jesus is at this festival, and on the last day, they don't pour out any water. And so Jesus is taking this, he was a master teacher. Can I just veer off subject for a second? Jesus right here, he's about to operate in a way that's out of character for him. Because modern day preaching does not look like Jesus preaching. Like Jesus, very rarely did he raise his voice. And usually when he raised his voice, it was to the church, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, those people who knew or were supposed to know about God. But Jesus was a talker, and he was eloquent, I think, but very simple. And he would just talk. And he's just talking. That's what he's doing. He's a teacher. He's, and God, and yeah. All of that is modern. All of that is modern day stuff. That is not how Jesus went around preaching. He just didn't. And so I'm not saying the other is bad. I'm just saying, the master, the one that we emulate, he was all about content over methodology. He was all about, what am I saying? Do you have ears to hear this? All right? Because that's what's going to transform your life. Man, I'm telling you what, I wish I could be one of those preachers. I got 2 or 3 friends. Man, the way they just talk is anointed. When they start talking, they sound like a preacher. Like, you know what I'm saying? At the restaurant, you hear them ordering. Well, I think I'm going to have the fried chicken and bless God, throw some mashed potatoes. And they have that. And I'm like, man, I'm telling you, when you hear them preach, they can throw down. And it's exciting. It really is. But at the end of the day, what is the substance? Because you can have all that, but you got to have substance. And Jesus, he was a man of substance. What he's about to do right here is out of character for him. He's about to get loud in the house of God. All right? And so on the last day, at the climax, the height of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, "Hey, anybody who's thirsty, you can come to me." Who is this? Like, whoa, where did that Jesus come from? "Anybody who's thirsty, you can come to me," he says. "And anybody who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said this, living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. who would be given to everyone believing in him, just not then, would be, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So he was prophesying about the Spirit to come. And he said, listen, I'm telling you, if you're thirsty. Last night, Shay and I were talking about dinner, and I said, yeah, I guess I could eat. I'm really not hungry. She's like, well, nothing sounds good. Why? Because we ate a big lunch. We weren't hungry. So nothing sounded good. He's not talking about people like, you know, I guess I could have a move of God in my life, or I couldn't. I mean, life's pretty good. It's pretty good. He's not talking about those. He's talking about people who are thirsty. You're dehydrated. You're beyond this place. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm just telling you, man, we live in a day. Hear me, church family. We live in a day where people do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you know what I'm saying? Righteousness. We live in a day where people hunger and thirst, but not for righteousness. They hunger and thirst for their own way, their own preferences, their own consumer mindset, their own entitlement. They hunger for things, but those are not things of God. God says if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and what is righteousness? It's just God's right ways of living, the right ways of godly living. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, the scripture says we'll be filled. I'm telling you, there are some of us that we have been hungering and thirsting for righteousness, justice. We have been hungering for authenticity of God. Hang on. I'm telling you what, listen to me, church family. Holy tenacity. If you don't know what tenacity is, just look it up real quick. Holy tenacity is something that you don't see a lot anymore. Like, I'm going to hold on. You used, in the old days, we would have the old saints. I'm going to hold on to what? The horns of the altar. Woo! My God. My sister, she knows. She's been in church a while. She's like, the old saints would say, I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar. And you know, the altar in the tabernacle had these horns. They're like, I'll hold on to it. You know, we're going to pray. We're going to persevere. We're going to hang on. Come hell or high water. We don't care what the devil is doing. We don't care what it looks like. We don't care how many people leave. We don't care what anybody says. I don't care what my bank account says. I don't care that I just lost my job. I don't care that he just said I have stage 4 cancer. I'm going to hold on to the altar of God and believe that God is going to do something, because he's talking about people who have a thirst for righteousness, that they will be filled. And he's crying out, Jesus right here, he's crying out and saying, hey, anybody who hungers and thirsts, you can come and you can receive a drink. And not only will you drink, but rivers of living water are going to flow from his heart. In some translation, it says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But what it's really talking about is the center of your soul and your emotion. The deepest passions that we have, out of that will flow rivers of living water. And the river that he's referring to, it says, he's talking about Holy Spirit. Listen to me, my church family. If there's a doctrine that the enemy hates, he hates the sovereignty of God. That's one. And he will fight people on the sovereignty of God. He will fight people on the deity of Christ and the salvation gift that we have in him, and he fights all of these through doubts, and he will fight the doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It amazes me, and if this offends you, it just offends you. By the way, Jesus, his teaching offended people. Do you know how much of my ministry I have had people to get upset because of things that I would teach? And it's like, dude, it just shows me people's ignorance of the word. It shows me that people are not in the word. You might know some fruity little scriptures that are like whipped creamy and cherry type scriptures that you can quote, but it's like you don't know the depth of the word. You don't even, like, you don't. I've had people to talk to me about, like, Jesus and his character, and it's like, man, back up, man. I've made a, you understand, this is not a hobby for me. You understand that? I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and I certainly ain't the most eloquent, and I'm not the most learned, but I ain't the most ignorant either. And I've dedicated my life to this. It is not a hobby for me. When I put teachings like this together, I don't go to sermoncentral.com. Those are real places that you can go buy a sermon for $4.99. I don't do that. I get on my face before God. I say, God, what do you want to say to the people? Tell me and I will be your mouthpiece. I'm not going to be so arrogant and deceitful to say to you that I have always been on point. There have been times in my life where I've been wounded and hurt and unhealthy, and I've bled in those messages. But you've also heard me stand in front of you and say, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do better, and I'm not going to do that again. And if I do, hey, will you point it out to me? And I've had my leaders to tell me when I've bled and, you know, how to correct myself. Thank God for you guys. And sometimes females. And I don't say that, but we've had, you know, women elders at times. Thank God for you men and women who have helped me. But when we look into the scriptures, the doctrine of Holy Spirit, where I got to in that was people will allow Holy Spirit will allow the enemy to attack the doctrine of Holy Spirit. It is the greatest weapon. Let me change that. He is the greatest weapon that we have against the enemy. I don't care how eloquent you can pray. I don't care how long you can pray. I don't care about any of that, because I'm just telling you, I've known some mighty people of prayer that they've fallen because, and when I say mighty people of prayer, they could do all of the, what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? He's like, oh, they love to be heard. They love hearing themselves preach. They love hearing themselves pray. But they already have their reward. I'm just telling you what. Sometimes my prayers sound like absolute gibberish, like a third grader is praying. It doesn't matter if you are praying under the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are times I don't know what to pray. There are times I don't have the words for it. And I'm like, God, you're going to have to help me here because I don't know how to pray in this situation. God, I'm, Jesus, there's sometimes I want to use words that might not be appropriate. I mean, you ain't going to go to hell for saying it. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, maybe I shouldn't say that word. But there are times where I will be so upset. And I'm like, and I know I need to pray. And I go to God, and I'm like, hey, I'm just telling you, I ain't in the right mood right now. My heart's not right, my attitude's not right, and I know it. But I know what is right. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, church family? My heart ain't right, God. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm beep, beep, whatever you want to put in there. And I know I'm not at this right place, but I know what's right. And I'm off track. Holy Spirit of God, help me get back on track. That's righteousness. And so Holy Spirit will. He'll help us get back on track when we're off track. That's why we need him. He is our Holy Ghost alignment in the vehicle that we're on this journey. And when we get off, he pulls us back. When we're over in the ditch, he pulls us out. He keeps us steady. And so Jesus, he's prophesying the greatest tool that we have. And he says, what's going to happen is out of you are going to flow rivers of living water. Look at this. Jesus, he's calling us to be rivers, not reservoirs. Take a minute to let that sink in. He is calling us to be rivers of living water, not reservoirs of living water. It's going to hurt somebody's feelings in the house, maybe. Might hurt somebody's feelings watching today. We've got a church full of reservoirs. It's been going on for decades. It was since Shay and I were kids, churches full of reservoirs. You are so full of the Word. You are so full of Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going down to the meeting Thursday night at, you know, Wetumpka Church, and then I'm driving 4 hours over to Willahatchie, and I'm going to see Prophet whoever over there, and then I'm going to go over here, and then I'm going to go over here, and then I'm going to go over here. And it's like, dude, that you're just pouring in, pouring in, pouring in, pouring in. Listen, if you'll just listen to me, do you know there's such a thing as water poisoning? You can have too much water in your body and it literally can kill you. We are not made to just receive, 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 receive. God built us with an intake. I'm not trying to be ugly. This is the systems of God. We've got an endocrine system, a nervous system, a digestive system, a circulatory system. We've got all these systems. He made us to where stuff goes in and stuff goes out. It goes out through our indigestion, our digestive system. It goes out through our pores and our glands. It goes out through our nose when we sneeze. It goes out through our eyes. Like intake and outtake. We are not made. Living things are not made to just intake. We are not made to be reservoirs. Spirit. So you hear me say many times that the natural mirrors the supernatural. So if he didn't make us naturally to intake only, he didn't make us to spiritually intake only. We are supposed to take in and send out. Take in and flow out. Take in and flow out. See, the things that I say to you about your families, your marriages, your finances, your spiritual walk, all of this, if you only come and take it in and you never put it out into your marriage, you never put it out into your finances, you never put it out into whatever we're talking about, then, you know, you're basically becoming a Dead Sea. The reason the Dead Sea is dead is because it has no outflow. And so all of the salt comes in. It has no way to flow out. And so it just kills everything. That's another thing that Shay and I, when we were able to go there, we were able to go and I had the ability to snorkel a little bit in it and just to see water that everything is dead in it is just a sight that you would, it's not a good sight, but it's impressive to behold. And such a powerful scriptural and spiritual implications. Do you know what I'm saying? And so what flows into us is what will flow out of us. This is super important. Because if we're talking about being rivers of living water, what flows into us is what is going to flow out of us. So I was talking to two or three people this week. It's so funny how God confirms different things. And I think, Milton, I may have been talking to you about this after prayer the other night. Normally they say the five people that you hang around with the most, that's who you're going to be the most like. The five people that you allow to speak into your life, that you value their opinions. So right now you should be thinking about, who's my top five people? Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Be careful what you put out in front of people. Because I've had people that I put stuff out in front of them that were prophetic things, and dude, they just pooped on them. And I'm like, wow. And I walked away, and I was so disappointed, and I heard Holy Spirit say, don't cast your pearl before swine. Be careful who you put the private things of God that I'm sharing with you. Be careful who you share that with. Because there will be people who, what are they trying to do? They're trying to clog that well up. They may not even know they're doing it. They may have no clue that the enemy is using them in that way. But what flows into us is going to flow out of us. So I'm just telling you, be careful what you watch. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful you are allowing to influence you. Because what will happen, you'll turn around and you'll become that. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 47 verses. It says 1 and 2, but it's really, I think, verses 1 through 12. So Ezekiel, the prophet, he's having a vision. He's having a prophetic vision. And so we'll pick up at this point in the vision. Are you there? 47 verse 1. You ready? In my vision, the man, this is the angel of the Lord, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw a stream flowing from the east, from beneath the door of the temple, and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall, and again, the man is an angel of the Lord. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? And he led me back to the riverbank. And when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. When he said to me, all right, listen, who is the river? The Holy Spirit. So you have to understand, this is prophecy. He's prophesying. This is the Holy Spirit. When he led me along the sides of the river, I was surprised at many trees growing on both sides. Verse 8, then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever the water flows. Personalize this, okay? What is your Dead Sea? What is your desert? Like, personalize this. You are Ezekiel, all right? You're being led through these areas. God's showing him this. So, Holy Spirit is the river that you're in. Are you in the river?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is the river that he is in. Are you in the river? And how deep are you in the river? Are you ankle deep? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Have you gotten out to where you can't touch the bottom and you can't walk in it, but you can swim around in it? And when you get to that point, I'm telling you, you begin to do this. You just go with the flow. Wherever Holy Spirit, wherever the river's going, that's where you're going. You know? Let's look at verse 9. Let me see. Verse 9. There will be swarms of living things wherever the river, water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En Gedi to En Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. Fish will, fish, for those of us who have been in the church a while, we've had some teaching. We are fishers of what? Men. Fish. I mean, dude, they're going to be all along the dead places. Like, if we ever lived in a wasteland in history, our country is a spiritual wasteland. We live in a spiritual wasteland, man. And this prophetic word, this is just not just something that happened over in the Old Testament. This is prophetic. Any prophetic word is eternally prophetic. And he says, fish of every kind. Not just black folks, not just white folks, not just straight folks, but gay folks, not just clean folks, but stanky folks, drug folks. Are you following me? Fish of every kind. This is the mind and will of God. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. And the leaves of the trees will never turn brown and fall. And there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and leaves for healing. So he's saying, you got to get this, man. The fruit is going to be for food and the leaves for healing. All right, so I want you to just stick with me now, because you got to, when you read scripture, you got to read it and then you got to dissect it. That's called exegesis. I've taught you this before. Eisegesis is, I have my own idea, I'm going to go cherry pick scriptures to fit my sermon. No. We always go to the word. What does the word say? And that's what I have to say. I don't get to make the word say what I want it to say. I have to say what the word says. So when you begin to look at that, the fruit is for food and the leaves are for healing. So basically what's happening is there's going to be fruit that is produced in the body of Christ. Prosperity in the body of Christ. And we are going to be able to sustain ourselves. This is us personally. We are benefiting from living by the river, in the river. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Healing, whatever that looks like. Because all kinds of fish will come. And whatever comes, we are going to have certain leaves. Now, I'm not into herbalology and all of that, but I'm not saying that as in that's bad. I'm saying it because I'm ignorant of that stuff. But there are people in this house, and I just look over here at Glenna because she's, you know, all into that stuff. You know, herbal teas and yada, yada, yada. Just give me a good old Coca-Cola. And so there are different types of leaves that minister to different types of ailments. I'm telling you what, spiritually, we are going to have the fruit and the leaves to be able, when people come in, we're going to have certain people. You're going to know how to minister to that. I'm not going to know how to minister to it, but you will. And you won't know how to minister to some things that I will. And the body of Christ comes together, and we are going to be able to use ourselves. And that's why it's so important that you're not just a reservoir. Some of you in this house right now and probably watching, you are a reservoir. You see yourself as a reservoir. You don't think you have anything to pour out. You don't think you have any platform, for the lack of a better word, outlet for a better word. And it's like some people, I'm telling you, there are too many people in the body of Christ looking for a platform that I'm on. I know saying that sounds, I don't know the word, but it sounds like, oh, well, look, you can say that because you're on the platform. Listen, I can't help. The scripture says this. God says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I promise you, I had other dreams, wishes, and vision for my life other than doing what I'm doing right now. Y'all might not know it, but what I do is extremely hard. It is hard. If I could have quit, you know, 100 times, I would have already. But the call of God is without repentance, and that's what keeps me glued to this mission and vision for my life. But we have too many people wanting to be on this type of platform that I'm just telling you flat out. My friend, I say this as an expert in my field. You understand? I'm not being arrogant. I'm telling you, I have over 30 years of experience in ministry. I have not failed morally. I've messed up, you know, like made mistakes just because I am dumb at times. But I've not made any kind of moral mistakes or anything like that. I have integrity as a record. Like, I'm not new to this. And I look at people and I'm like, you're wanting a platform you're not ready for, and that's not the platform you're called to. What you need to be doing is you need to be going out there. Your river flows that way, not in here. It flows that way. And we got too many rivers trying to flow into the church, and then churches become reservoirs. When the church is not a reservoir, we are a living water, river flowing out. So my friends, please, go flow. Go out there and flow. That's what we need to be doing. So I love in here, he says, I went into the river 1,750 feet and I was ankle deep. I'm just telling you, 750 feet, that's a little ways. And he's just ankle deep. You've been at the beach before where you've walked out and it's like, man, I'm a long ways from the beach. I remember, I think as maybe the first baptisms, I think Alan was with me doing those when we were over at the bay. Yeah. And I mean, this is so many years ago, probably 17 years ago. And I've never baptized anybody out in Mobile Bay. And we're got folks up on the bank, and we're waiting out. And we're waiting, and we're waiting. And I'm saying to Alan, I'm like, when does it start getting deep? And I'm telling you, we waited out so far, and I'm like, we can't go any further. They can't hear us. I'm telling you, dude, they were far away. And so we just baptized right there in about, I don't know, it was like 2 feet of water. It was like, you know, it's okay to be ankle deep if that's where you waded to. But it's not okay to be ankle deep. Listen to me, church family. It's not okay to be ankle deep if you've been standing in ankle deep spiritually, water, for decades. That's not okay. It's okay to be knee deep if that's where you've waded to. Everybody in this room is at different places spiritually. We all are on our journey. But I'm telling you what, the goal for every single one of us is not to be ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. The goal is to be so deep that you have lost. Because like when you get into the flow of the river, you now have no control over where you're going. As long as you're ankle deep, you got control. You're knee deep, you got control. You're waist deep, you feel the push, but you still have control. But when you get out to a place where you can't touch the ground, you have no choice but to go the direction that the water's flowing or what? Swim against it, all right? Don't swim against Holy Spirit. Please don't swim against Holy Spirit. Let me wrap this up for you. There's three ways that you can test your water. Water, the influence that you have. Holy Spirit operating in our life. Number one, check your heart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about fruit. We just read about fruit, right? Holy Spirit is the river. Along the river banks are going to be trees filled with fruit. Not, listen, it didn't say along the riverbanks there's going to be an apple or pear or two. They're full of fruit. Like, check your heart. Check your fruit. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You don't know what love is? And I'm telling you, most people don't. That not believers who are... You're really following the Lord. You know, because you know, if you don't know what love is and you want to define it, where do you look? 1 Corinthians 13. That's where you look. What is love? Love is patient. Well, that just disqualified so many people right there. Because I'm telling you what, I know some people, I've dealt with it this week. There's no patience there. What is patience? Patience is not... No, that's not... Patience is tenacity, is perseverance, is to hold on. That's what patience is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love doesn't hold any grudges. Just go there if you don't know what it is. All right? So, what are the fruit of the Spirit? There's one fruit. It's not, you don't have a choice of, well, I'm just going to pick and choose. No, it says the fruit singular of the Spirit is all these things. So it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's kindness, it's faithfulness, it's self-control. The last one, just disqualified so many people in the body of Christ. Because there's no self-control. Let me get on Facebook and tell you off. And, you know, I mean, we live in that world. We live in that day. Test your water. Because I'm just telling you, if you're not producing that, then your water is poison. Those of you who have swimming pools, y'all know what water tests are. You go out and you test the chemistry of that water and see the pH levels and all that stuff. A few years ago, I don't know, was it up in Michigan somewhere where their water supply, Detroit, their water supply was poisoned. People getting sick, possibly even some of them dying. Like, we've got to check our heart to make sure that, remember those five closest people speaking into your life that you do life with? Like, that they're not poisoning our source. That our heart is in the right place. Number two, check your mouth. Because listen, you know what's happening here on the screen. These are places of outflow. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh man, I was just kidding. I didn't mean that. Yes, you did, jerk. Yes, you did. You are showing your true colors. You are showing who you are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Apostle James says it this way. He says, can bitter water and sweet water flow out of the same well? Can they come out of the same outflow? Can salty water and fresh water flow out of the same? No, it can't. And we have a lot of brackish Christians. You know what brackish is, right? For those of us who don't, it's where the Gulf of America, I'm just joking. The Gulf and the Tensaw and all the others, Mobile Bay, they all come together, and it's where salt and fresh meet. All right? A lot of people are just living that way. It's like, I got all this ungodliness, and I've got all this godliness, and they're coming, and I'm just kind of living in the middle with all of that. And it's like, I'm just telling you, I didn't make the rules up. I didn't make up the scripture, but the Lord says something about that over in Revelation, that it's like, yeah, it doesn't taste good, and I'll spit it out of my mouth. So check your mouth. Are you an encourager, or do you tear down? Do you build up? Because that's really what prophecy is. Prophecy is the spirit of encouragement. Like, people want to feel like there's hope. Don't prophesy doom and gloom. Shay and I grew up in an age, and it still exists, where I'm like, man, I don't want to go to church tonight, mama, because there's the prophet there, and he's going to call me out and read my mail, and he's going to shame me because I was a bad boy doing bad boy things, and I didn't want all the church people to know because the church people thought I was a good boy. Are you following me? You know you following me because y'all, as the Apostle Paul says, some of you were such. But I'm telling you, I would be sitting there scared to death when a prophet would be in the house because I'm like, oh my God, he's going to call me up. He's going to expose all of the dark, dirty stuff in my little 15 and 16-year-old world. Why? Because I saw prophet after prophet doing just that, shaming people. And it's like, I don't know if he was on point or not. He could actually have had the Holy Spirit reveal something and then just been too dumb to know how to use what God gave him. I've done that before. I've done that. And then when I shared it and asked God, God, what happened there? I just shared what. And God said, I showed you as a revelation. I didn't tell you to say nothing about it. And I had to learn that lesson, you know. But check our mouths. What's flowing out of this? You know, is it life-giving? The last thing is this. Check your hands. What are your hands doing? Are your hands building up or tearing down? Are your hands serving or are they constantly taking? Because if they're constantly taking, that's why I love that movie, The Forge. They had such good quotes in that movie. Give more than you take. You know, be a faucet, not a drain. Pour out, and don't constantly just be somebody who receives. I'm telling you what, the more you give away, the more God will bring in return. And I mean that in every way. Financially, watch him. You cannot outgive God. You give, you be generous. God will replenish that. You be kind. Celebrate people when they got the job that you wanted and you deserved. Celebrate people. Be a person that, you know, you make sure that your actions, the physical things that you do, because I'm just going to tell you that you can say a lot of stuff with your mouth. It does not mean as much when you back it up with your hands. Actions speak louder than words. So in Jeremiah, I'm going to close with this scripture. Jeremiah says, another prophet, he says, This is God speaking about the people of Israel. He says, my people have done two evil things. Number one, they've abandoned me, the fountain of living water. They've abandoned the fountain of living water. And they've dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. Like, we're living in a day and age where people are abandoning God and they are digging for themselves cisterns that it's not sustainable. I saw in COVID so many people leave the church that do not go to church anymore. That's a thing of the past. We did that season in our life and we don't do that anymore. It blows me away. What have they done? They've abandoned the fountain of living water and they've dug wells of cracked cisterns that can hold no water. No, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. We actually just bought a beach house. We're doing fine. We just actually, you know, opened a business. On the outward, everything looks fine. I'm telling you what, the scripture, where do we anchor ourselves? In the scripture. The scripture says, what good does it profit a man if he gains his beach house, if he gains his new business, if he gains his new her new husband or his new husband in this world? You know, what does all of that matter if he loses his own soul? So say it with me. Ready? Jesus calls us to be rivers, not reservoirs. So be a river. Don't be like those people that Jeremiah is talking about that have forsaken God. So how can you activate this and carry it out and do something with it? I'm just telling you, church family, y'all know I shoot straight from the hip. Some of you in this room have told me yourself, yeah, those things you put on the screen, I really don't do that. I don't. And they're actually apologizing to me. And it's like, apologies mean nothing without action. Check your mouth and your hands. Words and actions together is what leads to transformation. So, choose three things that you're doing that are not life-producing and stop doing them. Just stop. Brother, you don't understand how hard. I promise you, I probably can believe how hard it is. But stop. It's just so hard, man. I struggle. Well, you're in the river. The river says that you have love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Control yourself. Control your own mouth. Control your own sexual urges. Control your own spending habits. Control your own hands that you use to hit people or whatever it is. Control yourself. Choose three things. Well, Pastor Rife, I'm just being honest, and I ain't trying to be super religious, but I can't think of three things. Well, ask a few people. Just ask a few people, because you lying to yourself. Ask a few people. But I promise you, the first person you need to ask is Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit, if your heart's in the right place. See, I used to pray prayers where I thought I was fooling God. Have any of you done that? Or maybe you're there and you don't know it. But I came before the Lord. This is early in my faith walk. I came before the Lord and I was doing all the things that I was taught or knew to do. And my heart was not in that. But I was doing it because I knew it was the right thing to do. And the Holy Spirit just said, you know, it's just us, right? You know I'm with you all the time, even in those times. The time when you weren't doing things right. It's like, you can't do that with me. You can do that with them, but you can't do it with me. I mean, I was just a young guy. I was on this stage, and I was singing and not living right. Are you following me? All those people out there thought I was this cute little good-looking sweet kid, and I was not living a godly life. And Holy Spirit in my young life, because I had the heart of David. What does that mean? Just a sincere heart. Screwed up, but sincere. I'm sorry. God, I really am sorry. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you can never do that with me. You can fool other people, maybe, but you can never do that. Just come as you are. And we're going to work with that. And so that's why I am so raw with God, because I can't fool him. And he's so gracious and merciful and patient and kind with me that when I don't have to pretend when I'm with him. I don't have to pretend with anybody, but I can't pretend with him. And I can just be as raw as I want, and he doesn't judge me, because why? Jesus already handled the judge part. That's already taken care of, at least for believers. And he forgives me. So stop doing those things. Ask Holy Spirit and just stop. And this is the other. Replace them with 3 life-producing actions. Not thoughts. What do they say? I hear tell the road to hell is paved. I knew we had rednecks in the crowd. No, but really, good intentions do not produce. Dream it, envision it, and do it with your hands and mouth. 3 life-producing things. And then, what I would love for you to do, and if you are like, Pastor Rife, I don't have any accountability, I can't be everybody's accountability, but I will be for this if you want me to. You can call me, text me, or email me, but I want you, we're not supposed to go brag about our stuff, but this is for an accountability reason. Find somebody that you can be accountable to and say, hey, you know those 3 things that Pastor Rife asked us, challenged us to do that produced life? Here are the 3 things that I did this week. And you're not doing it so that we'll go, oh, good boy, way to go. No, you're doing it because it's like, I want you to know I'm committed to life transformation. I'm committed to becoming a river. And I'm committed from going ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep to head on.